So this morning we ended by looking in a practical way how to utilize what we're studying here in the tenants presentation in conjunction with what we're studying in the Lamrim classes. So we saw today about the four objects of meditation, impermanence, selflessness of persons, and selflessness of phenomena, divided into four. So we looked at that this morning and how the starting point is to meditate on the impermanence of life as presented in our teachings on the Lamrim. Then after that, we progressed to thinking about the self. So how does the self appear to us? And does the way that it appears, so once you've identified how it appears, does it exist in that way? So that comes after we've cultivated the mind of impermanence. So for our meditation on the selflessness of persons to go well, we need to have a lot of merit on our continuum. So for that, we also spoke briefly this morning about how one needs to engage in, as well as in these contemplations, one needs to engage in acts of accumulation, such as generosity, ethical conduct, patience, etc., so as to accumulate the merit so as to aid our contemplation, to aid our meditation. So now we come to the presentation on grounds and paths according to Chittamatra. So we could say it's at the bottom of page 19 or the top of page 20. And so here this is divided as the same two outlines as previously, the objects of abandonment and the actual presentation on grounds and paths. And then within the actual presentation of grounds and paths, we will look in accordance with the view, the merit, the lineage, etc. As previously. So, as we've heard before, there are the three lineages. Those of the practitioners of the hero lineage, the solitary realizer lineage, and the bodhisattva lineage. So we have the three lineages. So we'll look at each of them in turn, and we'll look at in terms of what the object of abandonment is, what their path is, so as to overcome that object of abandonment or to abandon that object. And within that, we'd look at the view they need to cultivate or the object of meditation. And then we'll look at the duration and then the result that they attain. So we start by looking at the objects of abandonment according to the three lineages. Then how they overcome that is through the practicing of the path, in particular what they need to cultivate, what they need to meditate, so the objects of meditation or their view, and then the result that they'll come to. So that is the presentation for all three types of lineage, and this is also similar to before. This is outline is similar to before. So to make an analogy as to what this path or this map is like, we can liken the Buddha himself to a soldier. So a soldier who's engaged in a war will have an enemy, and to overcome this enemy, the soldier will have a vast array of weapons, so different methods to overcome their enemy. So similarly, our enemy as practitioners is this mind of self-grasping. So this is our primary object of abandonment, this mind of self-grasping. And to overcome that, so in this analogy, one requires weapons or methods to overcome this enemy of self-grasping. And the very best weapon amongst all of them is the wisdom realizing emptiness. And to develop this wisdom realizing emptiness, to cultivate this best amongst all the weapons, one needs assistance. So going back to the analogy, a soldier will have assistance from mechanized vehicles such as tanks and trucks and this kind of thing. So for us on our path, our assistance comes from the accumulation of merit. So the cultivation of the practices of generosity, ethical conduct, patience and the like, these are our helpers to help us develop this most powerful of all weapons, this wisdom realizing emptiness, to overcome our primary enemy, our primary object of abandonment, the self-grasping.
So
Similarly, someone engaging in a military campaign, before they launch into an assault on their enemy, they will do their research and they'll come to know the enemy. Where is the enemy? How strong is the enemy? What kind of weapons the enemy has, etc. So if they do that research well, their attack will be very successful. So similarly for ourselves, we need to come to understand who our enemy, our primary enemy is. And here our enemy is, of course, our objects of abandonment. So there are two main objects of abandonment: the afflictive obscurations and the obscurations to knowledge, or the obscurations to omniscience. These two are the main objects of abandonment. So similarly as with in a military campaign, if the research isn't done properly beforehand, and the enemy, the location of the enemy and the strength of the enemy, if this isn't clearly known, then when one comes to engage with the enemy, it's not going to go very well. For example, if one doesn't identify where the enemy clearly is, you may end up in the wrong place and nothing may happen. Well, likewise, if you don't clearly understand their, or haven't identified clearly what their strength is, one may come to the battle unprepared, and then things, of course, do not go so well. So similarly, for ourselves now, it's imperative that we come to understand what these objects of abandonment are clearly, because we need to understand what it is that is preventing our attainment of the objectives of liberation and omniscience. So we need to come to understand these objects of abandonment clearly. And then coupled with this, we need to understand our own armory very well. We need to understand these antidotes. So what is the antidote to each individual object of abandonment? And we need to come to know that very well. Because if we don't know both the objects of abandonment and their respective antidotes clearly, then from this some faults will come.
The
Daksin De, the Daksin Rakpa Dan Tramo Ni
Nigade.
Okay, so now let's start to identify what these objects of abandonment are. So the first one is the afflictive obscurations. So we have this here at the top of page 20. The conception of a self of persons together with its seeds and the three poisons arising due to the force of that conception together with their seeds. So that is the definition of the afflictive obscurations. So what we have here is the self-grasping of persons, or the self of persons. So there are two levels to this, and both are included here. So the coarse self-grasping of persons, as well as the subtle self-grasping of persons, together with their seeds, and the three poisons, so the minds of ignorance, anger, and attachment, that arise due to the force of the self-grasping. That is, and then together with the seeds of the three poisons. So that is the afflictive obscurations. So the afflictive obscurations are the primary or the main object of abandonment of hearers and solitary realizers. So the hearer practitioners of the hearer and solitary realizer lineage primarily need to abandon the afflictive obscurations so as to attain their goal of individual liberation, so as to become an arhat or a foe destroyer. So then the obscurations to knowledge. So here we have the conception of things as being true together with its seeds, the latencies of that conception, and all mistaken dualistic appearances that arise due to the force of that are posited to be obscurations to knowledge. So here, I think we have it quite clear at the bottom. So where it says the conception of things as being true, as it says here, I think, at the bottom, that what this means is the appearance of external establishments, or objects as being externally established. So that is what is meant here. So that wrong view, together with its seeds, this is part of the obscurations to knowledge. So objects appearing to be externally established, the conception of objects appearing to be externally established together with their seeds, and the latencies of that conception, as well as the all mistaken dualistic appearances that arise due to that. So then in addition to this, also we have the imprints of the self-grasping mind. So we can add that there, the imprints of the self-grasping mind. So before, with the afflictive obscurations, we had the self of persons, or that self-grasping mind, together with their seeds, but no talk of imprints. So included in the obscurations to knowledge, we can talk about the imprints of the self-grasping mind. So that's one thing extra that's not here in this description. So the imprints of the self-grasping mind.
Ede dedi dinzi sabona jeba dinzi se ayde ngzo jina
So, Gendo's saying, what we're seeing here, if we just look at the, not at the footnote, but the top, the conception as being true. So this is quite possible that one can have a misunderstanding, because the Tibetan word here is true grasping. And this isn't the meaning here. The meaning is, as we have, especially with the footnote, that external objects appearing as externally established and then grasping at that appearance. So that is the meaning, which is what we have here. But maybe elsewhere, when we, if we were to read this description, if it didn't have the footnote, it wouldn't be as clear. So it's, the Tibetan is quite abbreviated, hence the Tibetan itself isn't so clear.
So
here is in solitude realizes they do not need to overcome the obscurations to knowledge. The obscurations to knowledge only have to be overcome by the bodhisattvas, the bodhisattvas who are striving for enlightenment, of course. So for them, their main object of abandonment is the obscurations to knowledge, or the obscurations to omniscience. That's the main object of abandonment for bodhisattvas. So for the hearer and solitary realizer practitioner who's striving for individual liberation and to attain the state of an arahat, between the two of them, there's no difference between their objects of abandonment and their objects of meditation. So the object of meditation is primarily the selflessness of persons. So this is the same as in the presentation of the Sautrantika. And likewise, similar to the presentation of the Sautrantika, the Chittamatrans say that the only difference in terms of the practice of, or the other path of the hearer and the solitary realizer, is in terms of how much merit they need to accumulate and the duration that they need to, or the length of time that they need to accumulate that merit. So there's not a difference between the objects of abandonment and the objects of meditation, but the difference between a hearer and a solitary realizer is solely down to the amount of merit and the time it takes to accumulate that merit. And this is the presentation here is the same for the Sautrantika and the Chittamatrans.
And then,
Gavajala soba, Gavajala soba, his mini sheba, Gavajala soba, Sunim Tosa, Dine Sunim Tosa, Dine, Zamza Sunim Tosa, Yan, Tawakom, Dine Sunim Tosa, Lucian, Tosa, Jay, and Tara, and Taza Tazin, Sabona Jeva Pangu, and Lazia Tajimitu said to Boris.
So the here in the solid con the dante niente dan anche niki con la
sono niente da di
niente
niente che calcun vuole se ne dame tu per tava di com di ne cava son sono mi tuo di cava già la sua sono tuo sai guarda tavo con mia de casa da me
niente
niente niente da sangue me niente di
che cava su mare be
ah
che va su mare
ah go che va su lo so ah che va su lo tuo so sai sono mi tuo sai di oggi
che tu cerca. So here, now we first, amongst the three lineages, let's look at the Hira lineage first. So now we're in the 7B presentation, the actual presentation of grounds and paths. Again, it's explaining these two together, the 7A and 7B. So with the Hira, so the Hira needs to has the object of abandonment of the afflictive obscurations, that's the primary object of abandonment. And what is the object of meditation? Or what is the antidote they need to cultivate? The view realizing the selflessness of persons. And furthermore, they do this for their own benefit. So their motivation is, I need to attain liberation. I myself need to become liberated from the sufferings of samsara. So with this this motivation to liberate themselves from samsara, they engage in the cultivation of the object of meditation, the selflessness of the view realizing the selflessness of persons, so as to overcome their objects of abandonment, the afflictive obscurations, and they do this in conjunction with accumulating a small quantity of merit. And so this small quantity of merit takes at least three lifetimes. So this presentation is the same as what we've heard before.
So
then coming to the solitary realizer. So the solitary realizer has the same object of abandonment, the afflictive obscurations, has the same method for or the same path for abandoning that, namely the cultivation of the antidote or the object of meditation, which is the view realizing the selflessness of persons, and that in conjunction with an accumulation of merit. And they do this with the same motivation for their individual liberation, their own primarily their own benefit. So the only difference between the two, the hero and the solitary realizer, is the amount of merit and the duration of time that's required to accumulate that merit. So the solitary realizer practitioner needs to accumulate a middling amount of merit, and this takes at least 100 eons. So again, these two presentations of the hero and the solitary realizer are the same as we've had before. And the only difference between them is the amount of merit and the duration that that takes to accumulate.
Dini, judging me to Gurela song. That same Zambegi di Lago Marda, called Sunamu Sosa did that, Tonam to Palam Yinego Suya, Sunamu Sosa, Dinego, Tawakum Dusin, and Chick, Chitablasia, Dinin Yambarsha, Chitablasia, Dusia, Yoris.
So What we've heard thus far in relation to the hearer and the solitary realizer is in accordance with what we've heard previously in the presentation of Advaita Consultant Tika. However, where there is a difference in terms of the Tathagatan practitioners is what we heard in the previous presentations is that a being of the solitary realizer lineage accumulates all their merits, so there's 100 eons of merit on the path of accumulation. And then in one sitting, when they enter the path of preparation, in that same session, they'll progress through to the state of arahatship, or becoming a photostoria, attaining the nirvana with remainder, all in one session. So that's for the solitary realizer, and that's what we heard in the previous presentations. However, the Chittamatrans, they don't assert this. The Chittamatrans say, both the hearer and the solitary realizer accumulate merit over all four training grounds. So in other words, the hearer and the solitary realizer accumulate merit in the parts of accumulation, preparation, seeing, and meditation. So that is the difference between the Chittamatrans and the presentation of the two lower schools, in terms of the solitary realizer accumulating merit over all four training grounds, according to the Chittamatrans. So then for the Bodhisattva is a little different. So we see here that their main object of abandonment, as we've heard, is their obscurations to knowledge. So that is the primary object of abandonment for the Bodhisattva. And the way they abandon that is through the cultivation of their object of meditation, and that we have here as the view realizing apprehenders and apprehendeds being empty of being different substances. So this is the same as what we saw previously when we spoke about the selflessness of phenomena, although the wording was a little different. So when we had an illustration previously of the selflessness of phenomena, we had the emptiness that is a form and the valid cognizer apprehending that form, being empty of different substances. So that's the same thing here, that just the language apprehenders and apprehenders, as opposed to form and the valid cognizer apprehending the form. So that is the same as what we had previously on page 17. So that is the object of cultivation, the object of meditation. And that is to overcome the obscurations to knowledge, and to overcome the obscurations to knowledge. Another way to put their object of meditation is they need cultivating the awareness of non-duality. So this non-duality between apprehender and apprehended, or the non-duality between the object and the object possessor that apprehends that object. So a third way, therefore, to express the object of meditation is they're cultivating non-duality. Furthermore, the Bodhisattva, of course, is not working primarily for their own benefit, like we saw here in the solitary realizer, but for the benefit of all sentient beings. So the Bodhisattva is striving to attain Buddhahood or attain enlightenment for the welfare of others, not for their own welfare, for the welfare of others. So that's a clear difference between the Mahayana practitioner and the Theravada types of practitioners, and that's their motivation, the striving for the benefit of others. And the duration to accumulate the merit required to bring about these realizations is that much longer, because so much more merit needs to be accumulated. So the duration is three countless great eons that is required to accumulate the great accumulation of merit. So they have to accumulate, the bodhisattva, a huge amount more merit, and therefore this takes a lot longer.
ཁྱི
So this differing amounts of merit that these beings of the three lineages need to accumulate really is quite pronounced. So the hearer only needs to accomplish what is called the small amount of merit, which takes a minimum of three lifetimes. And compared to them, the bodhisattva needs to accumulate so much more merit because of the power that is required from the merit to aid the bodhisattva's realizations and attainment of this far, far greater goal. So the bodhisattva needs to accumulate merit for at least three countless great eons. And the bodhisattva's accumulation of merit, which is so much greater, it's called the great accumulation of merit, as opposed to the small accumulation of merit of the hearer. Then in between those two is the solitary realizer. So the solitary realizer still needs to accumulate merit for a long period of time, at least 100 eons. But because it's so much less merit than the bodhisattva, but still so much more than the hearer, then this is called the middling accumulation of merit. So if we think about these presentations, these three presentations of the three kinds of beings, certainly the path of the hearer has quite some attraction, because to attain the goal, the state of a fur-destroyer, a state free from all suffering, the state of nirvana without nirvana with remainder, this can be as quick as just three lifetimes. This really isn't so long. And it may be a bit longer than that, four lifetimes, five lifetimes, but still, it's not a huge period of time. And we can count those years in human years. But then if we compare it to the solitary realizer, one step up, here it's 100 eons, and that really is a long time. It's a huge difference between the two. And then if we go to a bodhisattva, well, three countless great eons. This is, it's something that's inconceivable. This huge length of period that a bodhisattva needs to engage in the cultivation of merit and the cultivation of wisdom. And this is a huge period of time in which they are engaging in striving to benefit others. And when we think about the others, it's not just people around us here or those that we know outside or we have some observation of. When you think about the how sentient beings are limitless, really this is quite, it's quite, it can really knock our mental strength. Because we think about how many animals there are, let alone those who are in the preta realm and the hell realms, and you think of the way to really benefit them is to teach them the Dharma. How can I teach them the Dharma? How can they even be taught Dharma by anyone when they're in such a very incapacitated state in terms of suffering and intelligence? So when we think about this duration of period and how difficult it is to achieve the goal of a bodhisattva, really our motivation can take quite a knock. Our mental strength can weaken. And the hero's path can become really quite attractive.
Yeah. That in that sometimes Gunjigo tongue check that in it did a talk to some other simple some logic, Dinigi Gangayo says sometimes you're the Yinaya. That's on you, Jim, then you get Tablam Chigla, then on the Tabachim, which I used to be Lam Yamna, that it do in Namsha says here, what that he goes to that do you go, she go, no, do. Jesan, that dolly, I love John, she love John, Jim Yamnoro, Galahasam, turn on do. That's on you, come on, Toya Delia. 탑시 신의
그걸 상하도지티블람
So when we think about this, the path of the bodhisattva really can seem, or can be a bit off-putting. It's really kind of long. So this presentation that we've had, that I've just given here, this is of course according to the sutra path. So the Buddha, he didn't only teach the sutra path, the Buddha also taught the path of secret mantras. So the path of secret mantra, this is a method to attain enlightenment that is incomparably quicker to that of the sutra path. So if one ordinary being like ourselves who hasn't yet attained the path, if we now engage in our sutra studies very well, and we have developed the strong basis of the sutra understanding, and then if we have this mental strength that is required, we can engage in the path of mantra, and in this very life, it is conceivable, it is possible to progress from our current position or our current state right the way through to Buddhahood in one life. So that is possible if we cultivate the basis, and then through having strength of mind, we make the required efforts, then this goal is attainable.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མ ཁྱི ཕྱི ཕྱི
So therefore we see that through making great effort, first in cultivating this basis of the sutra understanding, then through the application of the tantric path, it is possible to attain enlightenment within this very life. And furthermore, it should be said, when we're talking about the practice of secret mantra and attaining enlightenment that quickly, we're particularly talking about the division. When mantra is divided into, we're talking about the division of highest yoga tantra. So through the practice of highest yoga tantra, the goal of enlightenment can be achieved that quickly. However, whilst this can be done in theory, it's to achieve enlightenment in one lifetime is particularly difficult. But nevertheless, if someone has the sincere wish and really makes efforts, so it's hard to really emphasize how much effort needs to be made, but it's very strong. If the person has this motivation and it's powerful, then from the time when they receive their they've studied sutra and they've studied tantra, and now they've received the tantric samayas, and they're guarding them and protecting them well. If they then continue to engage in the practice of highest yoga tantra, it is certain that within a duration of 14 lifetimes, enlightenment will be attained. So when this counting of lifetimes starts, it's when the basis has been accumulated of the knowledge of sutra and tantra, and the samayas have been received and are being guarded well. So from that time, and then from that time, the practitioner can't engage in a spurt of committed activity, and then a bit of relaxing, and then maybe a while later, or now it's time to practice again, and then or now I need to take care of other things. It's talking about a continuous effort on this path, on this path of highest yoga tantra. Then, within 14 lifetimes, so whether it's this lifetime or it takes 3 or it takes 5, within 14 lifetimes, enlightenment can be attained. And the enlightenment of Buddhahood, so the enlightenment of the Bodhisattva. So previously, when we were talking about looking at the presentation of Bhāvāśika and Sātrantika, the word tantra didn't come up, it wasn't mentioned. And the reason is, we remember from the definition of the Bhāvāśika and Sātrantika, they're proponents of Hinayana tenets. So they don't accept the Mahayana. Now we have the Chittamatra, and we'll come to the presentation of the middle way schools. So these are schools that propound the Mahayana. So they accept the Mahayana, and within the Mahayana is the Tantrayana. So therefore, our practitioners who accept the tenets of the Chittamatra or the middle way schools, they will they are the path of Tantra is open to them because they accept this.
다 되네게 다야 먼저 셈 잠바들라 남 덴바다 남 춘바 니요 바인장 다 남 덴바 디기 갈라고 그랬으나 다 년대 자춘바 년대 자춘바 안에 다 되게 받아 지바래 년대 자춘바 당보 년대 자춘 년대 다 라제 자춘이 제부터 토병도 사제 자춘바 해야 돼 나디 냥할래 되네 하매 냥할래 되어도 삼매에서 학제에서 해야지 풍부디 레다 뉴모 옹기 중에 풍부를 하마디 균디여 와자 삭제라래 다 풍부디 매와 차도 풍부디나 잔이 시어도 냥할래 되어도 다 하매 냥할래 되어와래 풍부디 매와 차와래 진짜 하매 냥할래 되어와래 예수와 다 하매 냥할래 되어도 다 디뱀보 차상 균체바래 리과의 균체 뱀보의 균체 리과의 균체 균체다
아 그건 뱀보다는 리과
뱀보의 리과 니가 균체 되대바다 제가 뭐 어찌바래 Pimbada Rigpa Chasan Junche Vare, yes. Na Gansha Mewa Cha Vare, na Gansha Yore Vesin Yom Vare, na Gansha Junche Vare, yes. Na Dodi Pala Tan Kisi
Vare.
Gansha. Gansha Yore Vesin Yom Vare. Same Nyangle Deyo Du Gansha Mewa Cha Son Vare, yes. Na Gansha Junche Vare Vare, na Gansha Junche Vare, yes. Kisi Nima Dodi Pala Tan Chi Vare, Semdam Nam Den Pati Gen.
So back to the text. So here we come to a difference in the Chittamatan presentation on grounds and paths, a difference between what the true aspectarians and the false aspectarians assert. So looking first at the true aspectarians, so their presentation here is quite similar to what we heard before when we looked at the Satantika. Yeah, the Vaibhashikam and Satantika. So they say that the practitioner of the hero and solitary realizer lineage, when they attain the state of a foe destroyer or an arhat, they attain nirvana with remainder. And what is the remainder? It's these, they still have the contaminated aggregates, the physical and mental aggregates. They still have the contaminated physical and mental aggregates. When their time of death comes and they attain paranirvana, then they attain the nirvana without remainder. So they then attain the nirvana without remainder at the time of death, because there their mental continuum and their physical continuum is severed, it's cut. So this is the same as what we had before. Furthermore, if you ask, so is the person still there, they would say no, but the continuum of the person is still there. The continuum of the person hasn't been cut, sorry, not is still there. The continuum of the person hasn't been severed, but the person is no longer there. So this was the same presentation as we had, I think it was with the Vaibhashika, so a while ago. So when the hero and solitary realizer attains nirvana with remainder, they still have their contaminated aggregates. So the five contaminated aggregates, and that's what the with remainder refers to. Then when the parinirvana is attained and the foe destroyer dies, then they attain the nirvana without remainder, and their continuum of their mental and physical continuum is severed. There is no longer a person, but the continuum of the person is not cut. Then also, like we heard before, so when the hero and solitary realizer foe destroyer attains the state of arhatship or foe destroyer and attains this nirvana with remainder, if in that period whilst they have attained nirvana with remainder, and between then and their death and the attainment of nirvana without remainder, if in that period they generate the minds of love and compassion, and they generate, or the minds of great love and great compassion, and they generate bodhicitta, then they can continue on the path towards Buddhahood from that point. So they will not, so they will continue on their path towards Buddhahood. So this has to, of course, happen before they die and attain nirvana without remainder, because that's when their continuums are severed. So the presentation here by the true aspectarians is the same in this regard that we just heard now, as was presented by the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika. So they present these three final vehicles, and that when the practitioners of the Hira and the solitude realize the vehicles, so those two Hinayana vehicles, attain nirvana without remainder, and they pata nirvana, then their continuum is severed. And they cease. However, the bodhisattva will continue on towards Buddhahood. So that then would be the third final vehicle. So this too, this presentation of three final vehicles is the same as the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika. Dene sangi de kung nyangin de tokyo.
Dea yo mares. Sangi goba tosan de nyangal dea yo mares. Si yo mares.
Hakusum. Yini kung lak che nang de lak me nyang de tokyo de pe yang de kolo konso kesu shiki marebe.
Hakje lame se de meni nyang de lima do sangi goba la hakse de yo mares. Dene sangi goba tokyo de goba su gombo tsu yo mares. Me wanza de.
So we've now heard about quite a few similarities between the presentation of the true aspectarians and those of the lower schools. However, there is one further key difference. So the lower school said that a bodhisattva, when attaining nirvana or attaining enlightenment, attains nirvana with remainder, and then when that bodhisattva dies, the nirvana without remainder is attained and the continuum is severed in the same way as for a hero and solitary realizer. So that was the presentation of the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika. Here there is a difference with the true aspectarians. So they say when a bodhisattva attains Buddhahood, the continuum is not severed. Until as long as there are sentient beings remaining, the continuum of the Buddha continues and remains present. So their body continuum, their physical continuum and their mental continuum are not severed. So that is a big difference between the presentation of the true aspectarians and the lower schools. Furthermore, the true aspectarians also assert a sambhogakaya, or a complete enjoyment body. So this is something that wasn't asserted by the lower schools. So the true aspect parents assert that a Buddha has a Sambhogakaya, and through the emanations coming from the Sambhogakaya, sentient beings' welfare is enacted, or the Buddha strives to help sentient beings through these emanations. So that is a second key difference between the true aspectarians and the lower schools. This acceptance of the Sambhogakaya, or the complete enjoyment body, and then the other difference was that the continuum isn't severed as long as there are sentient beings remaining.
Mm-hmm. だでねじゃじゅせんばなんびさんげいださんげいでかわさんぎわすねさんげせげさじでじじらまわだどればでぎがるそすねどじじゃはどじてぎねでらさんぎべでぷにさんげばれすんごろわだんせんざべでぎらごまれすんごまれねかわさんげべすおめんせでていねじおめんせじよれおんでれやんでれじわれじゅせんばほめんてれじわれでおめんてんてらだおめんげはでぎだがとで ジェズンジョマダ、アンジェンデシダ、ディナシン、コジンアダ、チェネギ、チャサ、ジェン、チャサダ、ディネギ、ディネギダ、ネテレア、アネ、ジェワシェ、ディネア、アネ、サギゴレス、ウォメイネラサギ、サギセギネディ、ユサジディ、ウォメイネ、インジミジディレサギ、ウォメイネラサギレス、チェザディ、ウォメイセリ、チェザウォメイネディラダ、ロジョソブコ、コディガネシュアン、ナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナナ and then you are dealer longu. That the nigger longu dim that diggy drupy get that, druba tambata, maranga to that, midama, sada, the nigger druba nabata, maradi druba tien. Then I got by duje tuenche, and duje you doen to get some drup sani dinner, that then jessa get dorsadi.
Yeah, conversation number to Yatuba Yadu. Then a further difference is between the lower school's presentation and that of the Chittamatrans is where a bodhisattva attains enlightenment. So the lower schools assert that a bodhisattva attains Buddhahood, attains enlightenment in Bodh Gaya. So that is in the historical Bodh Gaya, that is where all bodhisattvas will attain their enlightenment. Those the Chittamatrans, however, don't assert that. They rather say Buddhas attain their enlightenment in Akanishta. In the pure land of Akanishta, and they attain the enlightenment. When enlightenment is attained, they give rise to this body called the Sambhogakaya, or complete enjoyment body. So what does this complete enjoyment body look like, or the Sambhogakaya? It's for example, the Tara we have here, or the Chenrezig. These are the forms of a Buddha that are a Sambhogakaya. So they are marked by jewels and ornaments and crowns and the like. So the form is quite different. Then from the Sambhogakaya, which remains in Akanishta, emanations are spread throughout the world, and they'll go to the emanations will go to the human realm, the god realms, and the like, wherever they can be of benefit to others, and they'll remain there, being of benefit to others through teaching the Dharma and the like.
Sanji Kumato, Pembo River Gunchi Mares, Pembo da Riba, Dudi, Dubigi, Bombo, Gunche, or Mato, Samegi Pumbo, you are a desu Gunchi Mares, Jesada, Bembo, Gunchema, Riba, Gunchi Mare, and then Nendera Ranje, Dambo, Haji, Tajumi Top, then Lamegi, Kopatova, Lamio Kumato, then Tomaya, Jesusim, Lamio Lopjo, Tama, Tarutuna, Sanji Kumati, Topja, Tatuko, Sanji Kumato, your Mares, Tarutava, Jigreso, Jigma, your Mares, that he. lagor di tate semsam nam zimbatiki nam zimbatiki tak chaba chi du chubare ta nyen jue da ra ja ha che da jime thop ha me da jime de bu thop na ya thar thu yo mare de no sa ju go ba thop thop go re sen kon to ya du go re din be be den bo da ri bo yun che ba yun de yo mare la gor di ta u ma ba da ji ba re da
So that was a presentation on the true expectations. And the false expectations, their presentation is a little different. So when they come to describe the progression of a hero and solitary realizer, when the hero and solitary realizer attains arahatship and attains nirvana with remainder, then they will eventually die and attain nirvana without remainder. However, at the point of nirvana without remainder, their continuum, their mental and physical continuum, is not severed. Their contaminated aggregates, these cease. So the contaminated aggregates cease, but the continuum continues. And where does it continue to? It continues to Buddhahood. So in other words, when a hearer or in a solitary realizer practitioner attains nirvana, they will eventually continue with the path and eventually enter the bodhisattva path and continue towards Buddhahood. So therefore, the false expectations, they do not assert three final lineages, but one final lineage. The meaning is, all beings will eventually become Buddhas. So this is a clear distinction between the false expectations, the true expectations, as well as the lower schools. Because of the schools we've looked at so far, the false expectations are the first that assert a one final lineage. But this assertion of a one final lineage is something that is shared with the middle way schools. But for what we've looked at so far, it's the first school who asserts one final lineage, and therefore it differentiates them from others.
And
So the true aspectarians, so they assert that when the hero and solitary realizer for destroyers attain nirvana without remainder, then their continuum, their mental and physical continuum, are severed, or is severed. So this is asserted by the true aspectarians. So the true aspectarians, so they say, as we heard earlier, they have this view in common with the lower schools that when a being of hero and solitary realizer attains nirvana with remainder, and before they die and attain nirvana without remainder, if they generate great love and compassion and bodhicitta, they can enter the bodhisattva path. But as we've heard, to attain the state of a hero, solitary realizer, foe destroyer, one only needs this small accumulation of merit, the small or the middling accumulation of merit, and there are differing objects of meditation from the bodhisattva. So the bodhisattva, so now if this hero and solitary realizer, foe destroyer now enters the bodhisattva path, whilst they have a large store of merit, compared to what they need to accumulate to become a Buddha, they really only have a very little bit. However, if they were to die at any point, then suddenly they would attain the nirvana without remainder, and their continuum would be severed. So how would they, now, despite having given rise to bodhicitta and being a bodhisattva, if they now die, they end up having their continuum severed. So what happens? So the answer that the true aspectarians give is that actually, when this such a practitioner who has attained nirvana with remainder of the hero or solitary realizer enters the bodhisattva path, that now bodhisattva will not die.
That you need to be aware of. That an age Jewish tangor khola. That you need to be aware that kor phumbo de da dugde rwa. Ni ma le da nyu mo ong ji phumbo dugde de. Je dan jo rong ye sang dang bo ye sang ye de wo me ne le sang ye wo le ge du wa wo me. Je de wo me se di da xin re de la le da nyu mo ong ju wi ge che yu ne yo ma de dugde se yu ne yo ma de. Me ba da yin ni wo me le sang ye de an ko wo me le ya zho ho rwa an phumbo de chen zhe yo ma rwa.
So now we've heard this explanation of the two aspectarians, but doubts may still remain. So we've heard here that now this bodhisattva that isn't going to die is going to continue to accumulate this huge amount of merit and to attain a Buddhahood. So this sounds a little strange because they still have their contaminated aggregates, because according to the presentation of the true aspectarians, it's only on the when death comes and the continuum of body and mind is severed that the contaminated aggregates are then abandoned. So now this former hero and solitary realizer, foe destroyer, who's now a bodhisattva, still has contaminated aggregates. But this bodhisattva, now when they eventually become a Buddha, will attain Buddhahood in Akanishta. And in Akanishta is a pure land. And in a pure land, beings do not have contaminated aggregates. So the question then to the true aspectarian is, you're saying now that this bodhisattva, on one hand, won't die, and therefore will not be able to abandon their contaminated aggregates. Then on the other hand, you're saying, but they will become a Buddha in Akanishta, and although in Akanishta, one cannot go to Akanishta with these contaminated aggregates. So, how does this work? How do these sit together?
さあ、ゲセでね、さん、ゲゴです。だから、ゲゴで、ラブね。で、ポンポドディ、ポンポティ。さなんじやまさんは、みだ、さすげやまさんは、じんいらごれ。じん、じんらっちゃ。じんいらっちゃ、すげやまさんは、じゃごれ。で、これ、すじんきらっきゲゴ。コロン、コロン。コロンゲポンポしょるわ。ポンポディ、あの、じゃんじゅせんばディ、ポンポドディでわ。じゃさんこさんじやろ、おみんてれさんゲゴさん。 디케르메바레 그까진 딱바르샤
Yes, Deni kongi pungpo de mi sempre tonga konso kongi lopa tonga o di tempore o takpare kasi kyoki yo mare
jechan lo mangbo ji kaje jame sum de ro ta pa sam gres
jechan kongi lop me konga kyune tongi yo mare
samwa de ma ji jini la gore ma thong wa sue sha jini la
che deni jini la ki kola ka chi chi kya su kongla
jini la kong konga korong jan shu sem ba sang ji go ma to ba thong bu le sar wa korong jini la che korong ge jini la gore korong ge da
Tapi kong ini lama ya mana?
Mana lama tu yorwa. Ngarang ni ngah kampar tu ni tu nak kongso yorwa. Lama yorwa. Jadi lama matang awak suka ni. Jinil lagi matang awak suka ni. Tapi suci tunggu mana? Lama tu je tunggu mana? Anu pungpo nimba tunggu mana? Tapi kalau juga tu ye ni aje. Ini sangat ikhwal lah.
So in reply to this doubt. Then, of course, the true aspect parents have a view. So in reply to this doubt, they say, no, you're correct that these contaminated aggregates cannot continue to Akinishta and therefore onto enlightenment. However, the Bodhisattva, through the blessing of their practice, their aggregates will change, and they will thereby be able to send an emanation to Akinishta. And this emanation that goes to the pure land of Akinishta, that emanation is what will attain enlightenment. Then furthermore, another doubt could be put to the true aspectarians. So now this Bodhisattva, of course, is going to have students. Now the students are going to see that this body, this of contaminated aggregates, actually is never changing. I mean, it's got to live for a long time and accumulate a lot of merit. So the students are going to think that this Bodhisattva is a permanent phenomenon, because clearly the body isn't aging or degenerating. So here they say that it's in a secret manner that the students and cannot actually see the Bodhisattva being blessing himself, so to speak, and the aggregates becoming uncontaminated. So this is all done in secret. It can kind of come down to the point when they become a Buddha, they just need to abandon their aggregates. Other than that, the true aspectarians are they kind of have a hard time explaining this. So, they have this difficulty of saying, well, they can't abandon the contaminated aggregates before Buddhahood's attained, because then they will attain this nirvana without a remainder, so the continuum be severed. But then they still say, but actually there's this, through the blessings, the aggregates do change. So it's really a difficult presentation, this. A difficult presentation to hold. So in my view, I think, because this presentation is a little strange, that when they attain Buddhahood, probably their continuum is just these aggregates and are lost, the continuum is severed. But this is just my view. I haven't actually read this in the text. Should I meet someone who holds a true aspectarian view? I will ask them about this. But for me, this view is a little strange.
Then Meva de la de meva mira sum yaza dimbarwa dimbar de danyer sum mira sum yaza danyer de le sum digi ene lam lo lo jong che ta de sum le sum le yaza jebo de le mira sum yong ko le sum cha wa de di le se wa da
So the true aspectarians they talk about here how since beginningless time the beings have had been of these three different types of lineages. So the hero, the solitary realizer, and bodhisattva. So because they are of these different kinds of lineage, then they have different dispositions, so different mental dispositions. And furthermore, coming from these different dispositions, they will have different aspirations. So with these beings of these three different types of lineages, they have different dispositions, and from the different disposition, they have different aspirations. And with these different aspirations, they have a different goal in mind, therefore their practice or their path differs. And hence, they come, they assert these three final vehicles.
当然这个能比他也拉人的对了他甚至比告诉他本来八家帮助一人把其他那蓝公主一人把都去送回人家当然这个的但能力的家几把的这趟和送到了就是卡的嘛都这个都拿几把钱过人家当然就蓝公家的了你没到把他大没被的那个多把叫来当不个拉把拉把的速度给他过过的那差不多差不多他过过了
你再去外面打包过了三大，再去外面打包过了三大，都是呢。那等你，当俺送来的太古都身边的端尼尔端巴姐，那端尼尔端巴姐呢？那他，他说，俺送来太古古都身边的，他把太古都，等他把在太古身边端尼尔端巴姐去。那你接完了呀？那都先俺这个的，但肯定是接我的，是不是？罗顿。
罗江写好了，在南木了，罗江跟你写好了，在罗江写好的，当我们就给予信任下的，对你妈，我这，但是我是口头口上了，桌上写好的，但南木那么写，这都是呢，我们那点那点的，我们过来，都是呢，罗江写的了哇。现在的，当我们这个当，咱就先把咱就先把南木了写完，那当我们就讲把咱再往你这都，这你最好，我们两边写写，你来的。 大面都别去，去给大面都别写了，就空包了。等你去给大神帮过人家，那大面都别写了的样呢，样都空空不接。等你地多把接了呀，那个是说他们错，金巴的初中老师把等你给金巴的教导都空接了。等等，俺这两个作为你们的，那俺这个个子土土的，俺这旅游过年给我住别，俺旅游过年给我住别，旅游过年给我住别，等你住等你，俺呢，公交里啊，说话大，等你也上街里啊。 吃个亏的，说话大呀的，对那些，对那各大面都被写了，对俺个的些，这咱们怎么的，对公都是那你们那些，但俺这个，俺就记录起来，接的，记的，对那些吧，那当俺这个，在八下，没什么的，都公写的，都什么怎么好了路人，咱公写的都八下的嘛，土土土如果了，对那八下土土土的给八下修写着的，没给八下的些，蛮牛牛牛牛些，那牛肉多啊，人咋？ 年迈的八下，没给八下，要不然呢？得罪你不穷穷穷如果了吧？那穷穷多完，咱叫我亲妈了，俺就点着点着伢家，俺娶起来过好几日住着。你那真多，现在那点那个，那点俺就要过去那忙活吧呢？叫我亲妈的俩娶起来过好，伢家起来的，伢弟弟的呢？现在，但你那个，你给你那个就点着了，讲讲也点着讲讲，你给我住着，你都现在伢家住下的。 我们就搞不起来，搞了哇！第二张我就第二节给你们来接的，第七刚刚去用我的车上给他，但俺俩就别俺车上，他刚读几多就接过过了哇！他第二天上大学去，那人家妈的妈，但我就五毛币过了，那五毛币过五毛，两毛币过了，就买学习，我第二天给你是第二天。
So today we completed the presentation on the Chittamatrams. So we've looked at the presentation in some detail here, and we've come to see what the objects of abandonment are, their presentation on the stages of the path. And we've seen also how that what we're studying here in tenets, other than being different words, has the same meaning as what one studies in the Lam Rim. So these two really go together. The presentation is very similar, other than having a different way of explaining. So, for example, we looked at one of the primary objects of meditation, and that is on impermanence. And to come to understand subtle impermanence, one first needs to understand coarse or gross impermanence. And there in the Love Room, we had a very detailed presentation on the impermanence of life. And through cultivating this, one, especially as the way we describe the meditations there, one can progress through the understanding of the coarse impermanence to subtle impermanence. So that's all presented in the Love Room. Then, when those minds, the understanding of impermanence, have arisen in our minds in a powerful and stable manner, then this aspiration for liberation or aspiration for Buddhahood, this arises in us in a powerful and a stable manner. And once that has come about, then the way we engage in the path is going to be very different. So with this mind, when this powerful mind is present, then to have a qualified spiritual friend and engage in this study and the practice of the path will bring about fantastic results and bring about them quickly. So we spoke also again today, about the three different lineages, and we spoke about this here, the solitary realizer and the bodhisattva path. So if you want to generate this the path of the bodhisattva, the first step is to generate the mind of bodhicitta. So if we have aspiration to the bodhisattva path, if that appeals to us, then we need to cultivate these minds of love and compassion. And through the cultivation of love and compassion, we will eventually give rise to this mind of bodhicitta. And in conjunction with our cultivation of love and compassion, we should also be cultivating the mind of the wisdom realizing selflessness, or the wisdom realizing emptiness. So if we're cultivating these two together, then it will come turn out well. And to cultivate these two successfully, one needs a tremendous amount of merit, because the purpose of having merit on our continuum is it powers our meditation. So to accumulate merit, we've also spoken about that, the practices of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, etc. So these are activities we really need to generate or engage in every day, and we need to engage in them as much as possible every day. And we should do this through acts of our body, speech, and mind. And we spoke a bit about this today and yesterday, about if engaging in physical virtuous acts such as prostrations or making offerings, verbal acts such as prayers and recitation of mantra, mental acts such as meditation and study and the like. So thereby, through our three doors, we are accumulating virtue, and this virtue helps to power our meditation on bodhicitta and selflessness. And as we've seen now in this presentation of the Cittamatran, the more we do this, we're accumulating virtuous imprints, and they get stored on either our mind basis of all or our mere mental consciousness. So we have this repository of karmic imprints. So the more virtue we accumulate, then if we think of it in terms of a scale, as the virtue accumulates in quantity and strength, then the strength of the non-virtuous imprints on our mind will weaken. So the more virtue we accumulate, the weaker our non-virtuous minds will naturally become. Then, and when the time of death comes, and the time for a new rebirth comes, if we have this large, powerful store of virtue, then it is our future rebirths will continue to go well. We will continue to have good rebirths like we have now. And if we continue with this stream of good rebirths, what this primarily means is we'll continue to have the opportunity to practice, which means we will continue to have the opportunity to develop our virtuous minds and strengthen our virtuous habitual tendencies and continue to weaken our non-virtuous minds. So this can be this continuation like a stream through this accumulation of more and more virtue. So continuing like this, then the attainment of this goal of Buddhahood becomes so much closer. So this so this is something that we all need to engage with, that we all need to engage in. And this is something that I'm not requesting only of you. I'm also making the commitment that I myself will continue to engage in the accumulation of much of as much merit as I can, and my request is that you do this as well. So then, thank you. That brings us to the end of the presentation on the Chittamatrans, and then next time we'll start with the presentation on the middle way schools, in particular the Svachantika or the autonomists. Sorry. So some questions. And so just a sec. Okay.
when my mind cognizes the person Dorji, are my mind cognizing Dorji and Dorji the same essence?
So when I cognize Dorji, can you say that again?
When my mind cognizes the person uh-huh. Dorji, my mind cognizes Dorji and Dorji one essence.
Okay, so is my mind that cognizes Dorje and Dorje, are they of the same essence? Okay. This is something then that needs to be investigated, and then when we come to investigate it, then we'll see that your mind and the aggregates that you are perceiving are of the same nature. So the aggregates that you are perceiving and your mind are of the same nature.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about the person. Yes. So yes, they are the same because the person the person is imputed independence on the aggregates.
The person is not the aggregates.
But the person is not the aggregates. I asked the same question because we heard you what the illustration of the person is.
난 도지 코로 통역이 도지 써야 돼 가사에 말했어. 안에 가사 있나? 니 나라도 바세 세도 유튜브에 가사 나는 말해 왔다. 나를 신비 가사로 왔다. 가사 챈다 책도 왔다. 제자디 예미기 바세 세니 가사 니지기도 왔다. 제 가사 귀태대봐 니지기도 왔다. 듀얼리고 왔다.
그런데 담아
귀태대봐.
응?
가사 하가.
가사 가가?
귀태대 가사 하가 책으로 와. 세마 야솔라 호 코롱 코롱 봐 야솔라게 통해 더지디 야솔 말어 와 이 유타데로 와 제가 코롱 그 통해기 세마 유두기베 더지 대다 안에 세마니도 더 계속 코롱기 바샤세 유도 유두바레 제가 코롱에 밀레이도 유두바레 거스 제가 인자 네 가사디 야솔은 말했다 가 유타데레도 와 Gansa jutate ba chagi duwa, ngoo chi kane chagi desu ne. Jiwa shili war, dili len jie kale hapo resu. Kono zu mingse kala guye na, kapo chagi war dadi.
So, what you identifying here is one of the difficulties that Chittimajans have when they are questioned in this way. Because what you rightly pointing out is that as we understand from the presentation, it's the ripening of a seed, and then the object and the apprehending object possessor come about independent on the ripening of the same substantial cause, and therefore they are of the same essence. But you, as being the object possessor, are one being, and then this object is another being. So this now gets a little bit confusing, and they have a hard time answering that. It was daughter loves him because it is.
So
I'm sitting here and I'm observing 20 people. If we each if you all individually look around, you'll also see 20 people. So I'm seeing 20 people, he's seeing 20 people, she's seeing 20 people, that means there are 400 people in this room. That is the problem that Chittimajans come to, because that, if you follow their line of analysis, that is the result they will come to. There are 400 people in this room.
Yeah. 心就接着都接着的几十块的卷入之类的那刚才我们接着的大外的话多少钱的我们被大外的公办的马上不用出国了
When the Chittimajan is challenged in this way, then doubts should come. They'll certainly have an answer to give, but being a meditator, a doubt will come and they'll struggle to answer these questions satisfactorily. And that should spur them to continue their studies and continue their investigation. And that's where we'd come to in the future, which with the next time with the middle way presentation. Because here, these same doubts start to get answered. Ruby?
This is a follow on from that, from the high school view. Is there an obstacle in that way of thinking to development of the teacher and
Is what way of thinking, what obstacle?
Uh-huh. By seeing everything as an imputation, expression of our own karma.
Okay.
Because of that thought or that trying to arrive at that view, is it an obstacle?
To attainment of bodhicitta. Okay. Then some sampakita to Nanglola, then Yuldan Yulche ni kari di gyu chikpa di nyelen ki gyu ne mingi yore ni ngwa chikpa re ngwa ye labdang noto re yene deni di ne konso kyun chik chwege debe kyun de konso jansup ki sem kye ye kalikawa rebe
ディ君子ね、ジャンジュスムケラカレカチェンバレ。ガスのフランス、ガスね、ユダ、ユツメ、セマニ、バシャ、シセウトビトグレラルワ。ディ君子ね、ダコ、ジャンジュスムケラカレカチェンバレ。ディガレラナ、マンズレチルドンドゥバナゴルワ。チヌドンドゥバナワナ、シンジュヨマルデカシャデカゴゴレ。ディナウデ、ジェザンデリアアナ ก็ก็ยังจะดิชื่อดนตรีบ้านน่าว่าน่าจะยอมมาเลยแต่ไม่เป็นจริงใจกันเลยแล้วนะน่าเชื่อว่าต้องโง่จีเรียสถ้าเกลี้ยงผ่าละเลยนะก็ต้องโง่จีชื่อดนตรีมาดูเป็นจริงใจเชื่อว่าต้องโง่จีเรียสแต่อันโง่จีนั่นกันเลยแล้วนะ nang she bi ba cha ji se yu tu ju go da la de o de yi ma re ya sam che di ke len che che da chi ru dun du tu ba di mi du sam de ne ya ne ya da sam da ya ne ya sam di ya ye do ya dun da la so xia de da de ne du se sam da ne de ne da chi ru dun du tu ba gong bi ge da jian xu san yi go ban to ba la di gong gu re la ru wa da chi de da di gong gu gong ge jian xu sim ji jian xu jian ba de de wa ni jie gong jian xu sim gong ba la zuo ji go de 那刚才我们这里的话都这些心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就是心就 Dine don o da di da ba re min du. Da nyang a shan da xue se sam di xin ju chi yan du. Dine ko ko na su di ya cha cha wa ga lo jiong ji. Dine ko du chen sem zem de da yue duo jin ya u ma de da wa le ya chu guo le. Ji ji ni ji jian ju sem ji ya la ni ge ma le. Peng ge le.
So, in brief, the answer is no, it doesn't harm the generation of bodhicitta. It actually can benefit the generation of bodhicitta. So, in terms of their view, so they will see that objects appear to be externally established. And then they will contemplate, so is this way that they appear and that the way that they exist, is this in accordance? And they'll see that it's, no, it's not. Why? Because their view, their tenet, teaches them that they arise from one substantial cause, therefore the object and the object possessor are of the same nature. The object cannot be externally established. So cultivating in this does not harm the cultivation of contemplating selflessness in this way doesn't harm the development of bodhicitta. Furthermore, as they start to think about the consequences that come from this view of theirs, and so doubts will start to come, like Gyatso expressed, and from this their thinking will progress and develop. So again, then just to go back to the question, contemplating the view of the Chittamatrans doesn't harm the development of bodhicitta. Then thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I'm not a man, 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 Yeah.